somebody does something nice for somebody else, you know what we do? One of them will say, you know, well, I went over and Thurman worked on my car and he did it for free. Well, gee whiz, I went over there last year and he worked on mine. He charged me $50. And we're offended. Let's say if I worked on their car, maybe I looked at this guy. I mean, maybe here's AA brought his car up. Now, I know AA's not hurting for money. I mean, I know he's not a multimillionaire, but he ain't hurting for money. You know, so if he brings his car over and I work on it and I charge him $50, I say, AA, I think AA can afford. Somebody else might have charged him $100, but I'm going to do him a great favor and I'm going to do it for him for $50, but because I know he's got money. But I'm not going to do it for nothing. But the next one was a little guy that brought it in. He ain't got enough money to go eat dinner today. He's broke. And so I did the same thing for him, and I did it for free. Now, see, that was the Holy Spirit dealing with me. Now, then, what AA, whenever he told AA, AA should have said, praise God, I'm glad he fixed your car. Is that right, AA?
Right.
Amen, praise God. See, but what do we do if we're not spiritual? We get puffed up. Well, what is this deal with Thurman? I mean, he charged me $50 to fix my car. And he fixed that one for nothing. What kind of deal is it? Well, I ain't never going back to his church. Is that the way we are? I mean, isn't it a shame that that's the way we are? Well, see, obviously this has been going on forever, hadn't it? Because Paul says, for you're still controlled by your own sinful desires. You are jealous of one another, and you quarrel over these little things. Hey, as Christians, we need to get over this quarreling nonsense. You know, if somebody comes in and says, Thurman, I'm going to give you a brand new airplane. I said, oh, praise God. What are you going to give me? Well, I'm going to give you a little cub. They cost $25,000. Praise God, I'll take it. Okay, glory to God. Right, they go over here to another ministry and say, well, I think they need a jet. I'm going to give them a $5 million jet. Now then, if I'm not very spiritual, what am I going to say? Oh, my lands. What kind of, I got a dinky little $25,000 airplane, and he got a $5 million jet. What does that say about me? I ain't very spiritual, right? I'm very carnal. You know, what I should have said, well, praise God, I know that God knows what he's doing, and that man's got a bigger ministry, and he probably needed a jet bigger than that one. Praise God, I'm so glad he got that one. But Lord, thank you for the little $25,000 one you gave me. I'm going to praise you and worship you for this one. Is that the way we should be? Hey, I mean, but that's not the way we are. That's not the way we are. You got to really get to a spiritual place with God before you can live there. You talk about offending somebody. I mean, you can take a bunch of pretty spiritual Christians. You can do something for one and not do it for the other, or do a little more for one than you do for the other. And, ooh, you can see feathers ruffled. Y'all know where I'm coming from? Or one of the places we really see it, I mean, used to, when my kids were growing up, Tim would want to go somewhere and do something. Okay, he's a boy. He can go there. But Amanda would want to go there. I said, no, honey, you can't go there. Daddy, this ain't fair. You let Tim go. Yeah, but see, Daddy's got wisdom. That's just like the very first date Amanda had. When she got 16, a little boy asked her to go somewhere, and he came, and I said, now when he comes to the door, you cannot go out there until he comes and knocks on the door. But Daddy, I said, no. If that boy don't think enough of you to walk to that door and knock on it, you ain't going with him. So he come and knocked on the door, and I met him at the door. I said, son, I said, Amanda, I said, I'll meet him at the door. You just stay in the house. Me and him's going to sit in the porch swing for a few minutes and have a little talk. Boy, was he uncomfortable. I told him just like it is. I was very clear. Here he is, about a 17, 18-year-old boy, and my daughter's 16. I said, son, I got a first note. Are you a born-again Christian? Yes. I said, do you go to church? He said, well, most of the time. I said, okay, are you filled with the Spirit? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, okay. I said, but that's my daughter in there, and I'm very fond of her. And I said, I used to be a young 18-year-old boy, so I know what's on your mind. I've been there. I know what you think. And I said, I know young boys think sex. So I said, I want you to know, if you lay a hand on my daughter, either on her breast or anywhere else on her body, if you touch her, you're going to see a daddy with a shotgun. And I said, I ain't going to just shoot you to hit you in the backside. I'm going to shoot you to eliminate you. Do you get me? He said, Mr. Scrivener, I said, I'm serious, son. You put your hand on that girl anywhere you ain't supposed to touch her, and I find out about it, I said, you am not going to enjoy living the rest of your life. I put the fear in that boy. He wasn't too sure he even wanted to take her out on a date. I said, but you remember, Daddy's going to be here, and you remember what I told you tonight. So you control yourself with my daughter. You get me, son? Ooh, he got it. Do you know we need a few more daddies like that? When they come to tell these boys, I was a boy once myself, and I know what boys think. And when boys are 18, they only got three things on their mind. Sex, sex, and sex. That's all they got on their mind at 18. That's the way a boy's made. I know. I've talked to a lot of them. Every man in here today knows when he was 18, that's all he was thinking about was girls. And if he wasn't, you wasn't normal. Because God talks a lot about that lustful desire. So we need daddies that will say, you're going with my daughter? You keep your hands off my daughter. I'm going to tell you. You don't tell your son when he goes out to go with a girl, like one young man. Well, he wasn't too young, but he was a lot younger than me. But his son was fixing to go on a date, and as they were leaving, he said, son, be careful. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, I know how boys are. You know, he said he might get involved sexually with that girl, so I want him to be careful. I said, that's not the right thing to tell your son if you're a Christian daddy. You tell your son, no sex, you don't touch that girl until you marry her. That's what we need to be teaching our sons, right? Because, you know, God said in his word that if you have sex outside of wedlock in the old covenant, you were to be killed. You were to be stoned until dead. So if they got caught doing it, one thing about it, back in those days, we had no second offenders. You only got one chance, and God killed them. Well, do you think those rules went away whenever he made the new covenant? Not really. They're still there. But when people go do what he tells them not to do, it causes handicapped children, mentally retarded children, it causes venereal disease, and it causes all kinds of things. And we've totally lost touch with why these things happen to us today. But I've seen it over and over and over. So I realize that when God says no sex before marriage, that's what he meant, even under the new covenant. But he says, you are jealous of one another and you quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you are controlled by your own desires? You are acting like people who don't belong to the Lord. Now, we got a lot of people in church that act like they don't belong to the Lord. You know that? When one of you says, I am a follower of Paul, and another says, I prefer Apollos, aren't you acting like those who are not Christians? Somebody said, well, I can't go to church unless I go to Thurman's church. Another said, well, I can't go to church unless I go to so-and-so's church. Hey, you ought to be able to go to church anywhere the Word of God's taught, right? It don't make any difference who the preacher is. You go. And if a guy is not as good as you think he ought to be, what, as a Christian, what should you do for him? Pray for him. Absolutely. God, give this man revelation and wisdom, knowledge and understanding. Hook him up with somebody that knows the Word of God, and that's the Holy Ghost. In fact, I remember a man that Cheryl and I went to see. His wife had already died. They were a Baptist couple for years, and, I mean, he was known as a deacon in a Baptist church. If you started speaking in tongues, man, he'd evict you from the church. I mean, he'd throw you out. He was a Baptist deacon. He didn't believe in tongues. And then one day somebody really prayed for Frank and asked God to fill him with the Holy Ghost. And one day Frank got the infilling power of the Holy Ghost, and now he's talking in tongues. Now what are you going to do now, Frank? Oh, now why do you think he got that? there was some little woman or some little man over there saying, God, he's kicking all these men and women out of the church to get the infilling power of the Holy Ghost. So, Lord, we ask you to move on his heart and fill him with the Holy Ghost. And God says, oh, okay, I'll just do that. And he did. And then Frank Hammond got the infilling power of the Holy Ghost. Then his wife, Ida Mae, she got the infilling power of the Holy Ghost. And then this Baptist couple, once they got the infilling power of the Holy Ghost, they began to get the revelation from God about deliverance, and they became a great deliverance team for many years, had been Southern Baptists. But many years later, she passed away as an old, much older woman, and just recently Frank, when Cheryl and I went out there, I think Frank was 80-something. 85. I wanted to go up and talk to him. And of course, when we were at GLC one time, we flew up there and we went to see him and talked to him about his ministry and everything. And it wasn't but 2 or 3 years after that that he went home to be with the Lord. But he was telling me that story. He said, I was between a rock and a hard place. All of a sudden, every time I open my mouth, I'm speaking in some language I can't understand and I don't have a clue where it's coming from. Well, it was the Holy Spirit. Now, see, when we have a pastor or a church that we go to, instead of leaving and say, wow, that's the worst pastor I ever heard in my life. I ain't never coming back to that place. What should we do as children of God? Should pray for them. That's right. I mean, maybe before you left, you should come up and put your hands on the shoulder of that pastor and say, you know, I would like to bless you and ask God to give you great wisdom and knowledge and understanding from his word. I don't think that would offend any pastor. Do you? But you need to ask the Lord to do great and wonderful things. Be very careful. Don't say, now, Lord, he don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so I ask you to fill him with the Holy Ghost. Now, that might offend him, see. Don't do that. But say, Lord, bless him, and Lord, you give him those gifts that he needs so he can bring glory and honor to your name. And as we pray for one another and for our pastors, then we'll have some better pastors. You know that? But what do? Oh, we're all jealous and all quarreling, fussing, you know, and I ain't going back to that church. That preacher ain't no good. Or he didn't preach it like I think it should be. I don't go to church because I can't find a good one. Ain't none of them believe the word like I do. I think, well, if you ever find the church is perfect, don't join it. Because if you do, it ain't going to be perfect no more. See, isn't that the way it is? Yeah, sure. Verse 5 and 6. Who is Apollos and who is Paul that we should be the cause of such quarrels? Why? We're only servants. Through us, God calls you to believe. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Holy Spirit Shows Us God's Deep Secrets, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.